Wednesday morning, excited to be here once again. It's been a couple weeks, so I'm definitely excited. Enjoyed getting to see everybody at the Christmas brunch. That was a lot of fun. Or I guess Thanksgiving brunch. It was definitely a lot of fun, and enjoyed that. Enjoyed the fellowship, the time to spend with each other. The scripture today is going to come out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, what I want to talk about today is use what you got. I think a lot of times in our lives, we are, well, I'll speak for myself, I'm extremely good at making excuses. I'm extremely good at looking at the negative things sometimes rather than the positive things. I'm really, really good looking at the obstacles rather than looking at the possible victory in my life. And then it's really easy for me to look at victories or possible victories in other people's lives. But I believe this morning God wants to remind all of us that he has good plans for us. He has plans to bless us and to keep us and to help us, especially as we enter into this Christmas season. I know a lot of times a lot of people can feel a lot of anxiety, making sure I buy this and that, or I can afford this and that. But I think it's really, really important, and I know it's kind of cliche to say, you know, remember the season or remember the reason for the season, but I really think it's a great piece of wisdom this year if we can all keep our eyes focused on the Lord, focus on Jesus's, obviously, his birth, his death, and most importantly, or equally as importantly, his resurrection. So let's pray, and we'll jump into 1 Samuel chapter 3. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in the call and that will hear this message. I thank you for their willingness to hear your word. I thank you for their willingness to believe you in spite of. God, I thank you this morning that yes, we're thankful for everything that you've done for us, God, but there is an expectation, Lord God, that I place on each one of us, Lord, that I prophesy to each one of us that the best is truly yet to come. This morning, Lord, I pray that you will move me out of the way and that you will use me to speak to your people, that they can receive a word that will help encourage them and help strengthen them, help instruct them along the way, God, that we can all of us be more like you, God, because when we're more like you, things have to happen. People are encouraged and people are given hope. People are given chances. People are given refuge in you, Lord. So this morning, God, I honor you and I thank you and I pray for my brothers and sisters that the word that comes forth this morning, Lord, will fall on good ground, that we can use it in each one of our lives so that you receive all the glory. Lord God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your long suffering and your mercy. We thank you most of all for the love that you continue to show each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 3, says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Samuel was obviously given to the house of the Lord by his mom, Hannah. She had been barren. God performed a miraculous miracle and allowed her to give birth. She dedicated her first son, who was Samuel, back to the Lord. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And visions were quite uncommon. Verse 2, "One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, 'Samuel.' 'Yes,' Samuel replied. 'What is it?' He got up and ran to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you,' Eli replied. 'Go back to bed.' So he did." And just for the sake of time, this happened two or three more times. So we'll go down here to verse 8. So Samuel has went in. He's heard a voice calling his name. He's went in there to Eli two or three times now. And on the last time, verse 8 says, "So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' Then Eli realized or perceived it was the Lord who was calling the boy." Verse 9, "So he said to Samuel, 'Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.' So Samuel went back to bed." Verse 10, "And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, 'Speak, your servant is listening.' The Bible goes on to say that God tells Samuel some things that's going to happen to the house of Eli because of some of the choices that he was making or he was looking past, and his sons were doing some bad things. But what I want to focus on this morning is the early part of the chapter. And I want to talk about that a lot of times, especially in as we get older in life, hit 70, 80, 90 years old, even sometimes we hit 40 or 50 years old, we feel like life has passed us by. We feel like we're too old too much time has passed to forgive somebody. Too much time has passed to ask for forgiveness. But I believe this scripture shows each one of us that we need to use what we got. You see, people are always talking about waiting on the Lord. And yes, I believe we have to wait on the Lord. But sometimes I believe that you're supposed to wait, but sometimes I believe you're to activate. I'll say it one more time. Sometimes I think you are to wait on the Lord, but then sometimes I think it's time to activate. And what I mean by that is sometimes waiting on the Lord is not sitting in a room like mama and them used to tell us. Well, most of the time my parents beat me, but the kids nowadays, the parents or the grandparents say, "Little Jimmy, go to your room and wait for me to call you and tell you to come out." Well, what the parent or the guardian is saying is, "Listen, go to your room and I'll tell you a time to come out." But when God tells us to wait on him, he's not saying, "Alan, Alex, go sit in the room and wait till I tell you to come out." He's telling us to sit there with an expectation from me. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is when God tells us to wait on him, we need to activate that waiting process with some faith. Because when that happens, then that's when the blessings happen. Then that's when the instructions from the Lord happens. Because I promise you, if you're waiting on the Lord is not productive, then it's time to activate it with faith. If you're waiting on the Lord is hurting you in any kind of way, then it's time to activate your faith. At the pharmacy, so many times people come in with these savings cards and they're like, "Hey, listen, I want to get this medicine for $5 or $10, whatever it may be. So I'll take the card and I'll try to transmit it to the insurance and it tells me activation required." So I'll talk to the customer and I'll be like, "Listen, did you activate this?" And they're like, "No, the doctor gave it to me and told me just to bring it to you." So I look at the card and immediately I read in the middle in huge letters, "Must be activated. Activation required. Activation required to receive benefits." Something along those lines. And what happens is we're so focused on receiving the benefits that we forget to activate the card. We're so focused on wanting to get the savings or wanting to get the expected outcome that we forget to activate. We forget to take the steps needed to receive the benefits. So brothers and sisters, this morning I have great news. It's okay that if you're waiting on the Lord, it's okay that if you're 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, because Eli was in a position, according to scripture, that Eli was almost blind. Eli was in a position that later on we find out that Eli was not skinny. I would argue that Eli was a big man. Eli had been eating good on the hog. Eli had been doing things, and he was to a point in his life that he was almost to the end. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm telling you, I've skipped over this hundreds, if not thousands of times, and God blew my mind yesterday and this morning with this. In verse 3, it says, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping near the ark of God." I've read it and read it so many times. I'm like, okay, the lamp was about to go out, and Eli was about to go to sleep, and that's when God decided to call Samuel. But I believe now from the revelation of the Lord that the reason that the lamp was not out yet is God was trying to show us something. I believe that the lamp that was in the most was in the holy place was representative. It was representative of the light of God. I believe it was representative and is representing Jesus Christ, because we are to be the light of the world. The Bible tells us that, listen, we're to be a lamp not hidden under a table, but we're supposed to be on top of a table so that everybody enjoys the benefits of what God is doing in our life. Brothers and sisters, I promise you, there is a man that was almost ready to die. He was fat and he was almost blind, if not blind, because the Bible says that his eyes were darkened. this man had nothing going for him except there was a little bit of light in his life. There was a little bit of God shining in his life. And because there was a little bit of light shining in his life, the prophet, the priest Samuel, the boy comes to him for instruction. Could y'all imagine if Samuel would have been doing like some of us do? Could you imagine if Samuel would have been, or excuse me, Eli would have been feeling sorry for himself? Could you imagine if Eli would have been in a mindset of, listen, I'm too old to perform some of the things of God? Could you imagine if Eli felt sorry for himself and said, okay, I've done my duties as priest for the Lord. Let me die in peace. Could you imagine, brothers and sisters, this morning, if Eli would have said, listen, I'm too old to matter anymore. I've gone too far. I've messed up too many times. I've overlooked the sins of my sons too many times. I can't be used by God anymore. I know a lot of us have thought that. I know a lot of us, especially in the Christmas and Thanksgiving season, we've had pain. We've lost loved ones. We've not done enough. We feel like we don't have enough finances to take care of our kids or families. We're not in a financial situation to be able to provide. But brothers and sisters, I have good news that if the lamp of God has not went out in your life, if the lamp of God has not went out in my life, there's still hope. There's still an opportunity for you and I to deliver a word for the Lord. There's still an opportunity for us to give a word, for us to encourage somebody, for us to bless somebody, for us to release what's on the inside of us to somebody. You see, the third time that Samuel ran in there to Eli, the Bible says that Eli perceived. Eli knew that it was the voice of the Lord. Well, how did Eli know? Did Eli have a textbook to listen to? Did Eli have Amazon Prime or Kindle to listen to the how to listen to God? Absolutely not. How did he know? And the answer is because he had a relationship with God. You may tell me, Brother Allen, but Eli messed up so many times, but Eli's kids were doing all sorts of hell in the tabernacle. They were doing all sorts of hell with the things of God. They were doing all sorts of type of bad things, stealing and taking advantage of the women and having sex with the women that were supposed to be pure and holy. And I'll tell you, yes. But I serve a God, we serve a God that's not done with us yet. We serve a God that will not allow that light to extinguish in each one of our lives unless we're the ones that's willing to put it out. We serve a God that's sitting here saying there's still a chance. There's still an opportunity. I hear God screaming at us this morning. I hear God screaming at us this morning, telling us, don't give up. I'm not done with you yet, 50-year-old, been divorced 8 times. That doesn't scare God. God is not scared of your drug addiction. God is not scared of my past or my present or my future. God is not scared that you're 85 years old. God is not scared that you've went so far. He's telling you that the lamp has not went out. Let that sink in. God is telling you that as long as my light is still there, then there is still an opportunity for a word. You see, this morning, I thank God that Eli did not feel sorry for himself. I thank God that Eli was not in a posture of saying, listen, Samuel, maybe it's God, maybe it's not, but he was too hurt by the cares of the world. He wasn't too hurt by the things going on around him. He wasn't too scared to say, listen, I used to be in the situation you were in. Undoubtedly, God had called to Eli in the midnight hour. God had spoke to him in such a way that he knew it was the voice of the Lord. And Eli shared that with Samuel. And because Eli was willing to share that with Samuel, that brought about deliverance for a nation. That brought about the new priest that was going to take Eli's place. He shouted a blessing to the next generation. Brothers and sisters, this morning I promise you that you may not think that you're as important as Eli shouting a word to Samuel, but I promise you, you are. I promise you that you're not too old, too far gone, or too hurt to be able to shout something you know to the next generation. Brothers and sisters, I perceive that there is a word on the each side or on the inside of each one of you, on the inside of me, that can help somebody. I believe that some of us are in a situation that we can financially bless somebody else. I believe others of us are in a situation that we can financially receive a blessing. You see, I think it's harder to receive a financial blessing than it is to give it, because it takes humility to receive. It takes... Many things to receive and to give and to do these things for God. But more importantly than all of that, I want each of us to know this morning that you got to use what you got. You got to, if you're old and fat, God will still use you. If you're almost blind, God will still use you. If you've been divorced 6 times, God will still use you. If you smoked meth this morning or crack or took Xanax, or I don't care what you did, God will still use you. That's the kind of God we serve. And there's only one way to know him, and that is an intimate relationship with him. In Exodus, I think chapter 33, Moses, in closing this morning, Moses is talking to God. And, you know, they've went through the Red Sea. They've been fed with manna. The quails came from heaven. Moses has seen God in a burning bush. All these miraculous things have happened. But in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, this is Moses talking to God. The Bible says, "If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor." The original text there says that I may know you. God, let me know your ways that I may know you. Brothers and sisters, how in the world did Moses not know God at this point? He had talked to him in a burning bush. They had walked through, an ocean on each side of them on dry land. Moses had seen things that people could only dream about. And he prays to God and he says, "God, please let me find favor in your sight. Let me know your ways that I may know you." How? Because I promise you one thing. It's one thing to see the fruits of God. It's one thing to see the miracles of God in people's lives. It's one thing to see miracles in your own life. But until you are willing to have an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's absolutely no way that you and I can know him. Moses was saying, "God, I've seen a lot of things, but I need to know you. I need to be with you in that secret place. I need to know you intimately to the point that we become one." Brothers and sisters, how many of us have seen awesome things and we know the scriptures, but do we know God? I want to encourage us this morning that I pray that all of us, that we use what we got. What do we have? We have a heart that is willing to call out to God. We have a brain that is willing to search the scriptures. But more than all that combined, we have a Savior that's calling to us. You see, before our kids could be born, I had to know my wife. Joshua couldn't be born until I had an intimate relationship with my wife. Isabel would not have been born if I did not have an intimate relationship with my wife. You see, certain things happen when you have an intimate relationship with God. I believe Eli had an intimate relationship with God, even though all hell was breaking loose around him. And because he had that intimate relationship, he could recognize and realize that it was the voice of the Lord calling to Samuel. Because he could realize and recognize that, a nation was forever changed. Because I knew my wife, life came about. Brothers and sisters, if we can know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, life must come forth. Miracles must come forth. The fruits of the Spirit must come forth. Everything is waiting on you to know God. Everything is waiting for me to know God. Eli knew God, and look what happened with Samuel. I see people in my life that know God, and I watch how they change people around them, and it absolutely blows my mind. Brothers and sisters, you are as important as your pastor, as your apostle, as a prophet you know, or somebody you may think speaks great mysteries about the kingdom of heaven or has great leadership qualities. I believe one of the greatest things the enemy tries to convince each one of us of is that we're not as good as. I tell Alex something, she goes, yeah, but you speak better than I do. You do it. But I see something on the inside of my wife that's greater than anything I think that's on the inside of me. And brothers and sisters, I promise you there's something greater on the inside of you than you could possibly think or even imagine. Don't let the enemy steal what you got. Use what you got. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for a word that encourages us that we can know that the lamp of God is still shining in our lives. God, I don't care how dim that it may be in some of our lives. I thank you that it's still there. I thank you that it's still shining. I thank you that you are exactly who you say you are. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that'll hear this message and that's listening right now. I pray that you will convince them. I pray that you will encourage and inspire them to know that you're not done. Oh God, I pray. God, I pray for an anointing on the inside of each one of them that they will realize and be convinced and convicted of the fact that the best is yet to come. God, I pray that they'll know that they're just as important as me, just as important as their pastor or their preacher or whoever they may look up to. God, I thank you for the respect that you've placed on the inside of them, God, but I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that you've put on the inside of each one of them. God, I pray for healing for their families. I pray for financial breakthrough for each one of them. God, I pray that you will blow their mind during this season, God, but we commit to you to be focused on you more than focused on our wallet, be focused on you more than focused on the gifts that our kids or family or whoever may want. God, I know the cares of the world try to pull us down, Lord, but today we look to you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we commit to use what we got. God, as we wait, we will activate the faith that you've placed on the inside of each one of us, and I pray for a faith to be emboldened on my brothers and sisters, God, that they will move mountains. They will change people's destinies. They will change their destinies because of the faith that's activated in their waiting. We yield to you this morning and we say thank you. We honor, praise, and glorify you for being God all by yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.